is OT with Caroline, Lindsay, and Lena on your home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
I suppose it helps to have the mic on. Welcome to OT. This is Thursday, November the 19th. Thank you for checking in. I'm Caroline alongside Lindsay.
Hello, ladies. How are you doing tonight?
Fabulous. And you and Lena?
So good.
Running the board per usual. Now, we've got a whole lot to get to today here on Sportsnet 650. Hope we'll be able to get to it all because we never do. We always seem to run out of time. Hint, hint. Bosses, hint, hint. It was a huge week. Can we just say the words Kim Ng? In case you haven't heard, the Miami Marlins hiring the first female GM in major North American sports, and she is the first Asian American to hold that position. Kim Ng. What does this all mean moving forward? Also, how do you cheer for a player once hated? Or in the case of the moves in the Canucks made or did not make, how do you cheer against a player you once loved? Jerry Seinfeld, of all people, will weigh in. That's right, I said that. And the NBA draft happened last night. I'm whelmed, not overwhelmed, not underwhelmed, just kind of whelmed. And we'll have our resident NBA guru, Lindsay, talk about that. We have another incredible interview coming up. Renee Hess of Black Girl Hockey Club. You know she's going to have a ton of great takes there. And of course, the reverse retro jerseys plugging up the Twitter feed.
But first, Caroline, we have to get to more important business.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
What's happening?
It is
Jersey Day, baby!
Yeah, Jersey Shore Family Vacation, if you didn't know. Today is the fourth season that it starts. Thursday nights at 5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can still watch it and then listen to our show later. So that's okay.
Okay. Do I need to start watching this?
I may have to retire.
Oh my goodness.
Are we going to have to think now? Are we going to have to do all the technical stuff? No, we need you here. I don't know. I'm a Real Housewives girl. I can't do Jersey Shore. I prefer my fighting to be by, you know, older, middle-aged, drunk women. I don't know.
That's just as entertaining. I can get down with that. I enjoy that, too.
Yeah, I enjoy bad Botox and fillers on my television. What can I say? Okay, let's get back to what we are here for. We're talking about sports. What do you got? Text us, 650-650. We're going to talk about the NHL and the reverse retro jerseys. They're releasing it all on the same day, right before Christmas. Nice job, marketing people. Okay, first of all, what is reverse retro? Isn't that kind of an oxymoron?
So reverse retro is the throwback jerseys, and they've got a modern twist.
Oh,
so that's what that means.
Okay. All right.
It's a little mix of old and new.
Okay, I thought it was like saying chai tea, like T-T. That's what I thought it was. Okay. I'm learning. Now, Ryan Lindemark from News 1130 put up a graphic of the new Canucks reverse retro jersey next to a Sprite can. Now I cannot unsee this, but I still like the jerseys.
You like it? The Canucks ones.
I do like the Canucks ones. But I mean, I like my jerseys kind of gaudy and kind of weird looking, but I really like it. I mean, I've got the bright yellow skate. I've got the black one with the V. So I've got the old, you know, obnoxious looking ones. I kind of like this one, but it's been getting a lot of hate.
I really wish they went with the OG colors, the black, red, and gold. I really wish they had that.
But didn't they have that for a game or two last season?
Yeah, for the anniversary. But they went with a gradient, word of the day for you two. Had to teach you two that word earlier.
Yeah.
But they went with the gradient to pay homage, I guess. I don't know if this is really the reason, but the West Coast Express era rocked the red and navy blue gradient jerseys. Mm-hmm. So they went with that style. And then they mixed it in with the new colors. I'm not a fan at all.
Really?
No.
See, I love them, but I want to get one. But I don't want people to be looking at me like, boo, you're a walking Sprite can, or boo, you're just pandering. I like them, hint, hint, husband who may be listening for Christmas. I like them a lot. I would absolutely wear them. But for me, the uglier, the better.
Wow.
Really?
But you must be a fan of ugly Christmas sweaters.
I call them Christmas sweaters.
Yeah.
Wait to what I'm going to be busting out in a few weeks, ladies. Y'all just get ready.
Are you going to be one of those that wears those Christmas sweaters that have the light up?
I do.
Why did I know that?
Of course.
Oh, wait till you see what lights up. Oh, that sounds naughty. But no, wait till you see what lights up on that jersey. No, but I really do like the Canucks ones. I don't get the hate, but I don't know. I guess that's what keeps it spicy. So, A lot of them, I thought, okay, cute effort. Leafs, you're the same. Bruins, you just went brighter yellow and you're the Bruins, so you're just heinous anyway. Red Wings, Flyers, Sens, both New York teams, meh. Lightning, eh. You didn't really change anything. You didn't change much. Predators, I feel like we've seen it. Mm-hmm. But can we talk about our favorites? And can we all agree that we're not going to put Canucks in our yays or nays just because it's pandering? We just talked about it.
No, you can. If you like it, then throw it in your top five.
Man, now I have to adjust my top five.
Boot one out.
I have to adjust my top five. Well, I do like the Canucks one. Is it my favorite? I don't know. It is my favorite team. But I don't know if it's my favorite jersey. I would absolutely rock it. Now, we all have our top fives, and we didn't share this before the show, so this is going to be spicy and fun. Lindsay, let's start with you. What's your top five?
My top is the Dallas jersey because it's so fresh. It's white with the green star. Mm-hmm. Really nice. I think it's clean. It looks really good with a white pair of sneakers. You know, if you want to go through the whole outfit, I think it's nice. I think it's a great jersey. I like New York second. And really? I know Lena also said she liked it, but I would move the...
Which New York, saying, Rangers or Islanders?
Oh, the
Islanders didn't do anything.
Exactly. I'm like, you didn't really change much.
But like move Lady Liberty a little bit higher on the jersey. It's kind of a bit low.
Yeah,
that's
I
what
don't
Lena
understand
had said
that.
Too.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Yeah, I'm not sure why it's so low. It looks a bit strange. But
see, I was just kind of whelmed by it.
Yeah, you're just indifferent, neither here nor there.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I almost like the simpler, the better. And Caroline, I think you're like
same.
The direct
opposite.
I'm the opposite.
Absolute opposite, which is why we'll never fight over clothes, which is cool. All right. What do you have? 650-650. Text us. What are your favorites? Lindsay, keep going.
Okay.
Go through your list. So number one
Dallas.
Number two, New York Rangers.
Yes.
Number
and then
three.
New Jersey Devils.
Oh!
I know. I like it, though.
Yeah.
It's fresh. I love the horns. It's clean. It's got a nice flow to it. Fourth, I had the Canucks.
Okay.
Because I like a little ombre now that I know what gradient means.
We learned
we
a new
call
word.
It ombre, but it's gradient, yes.
It's a gradual blending of colors.
Thank you, Lena.
A smooth transition between colors.
We love a smooth transition, you know.
We do.
We don't know what that is on the show.
But we're working on it. We're six shows in, people. All right. So fourth, Canucks.
And then the fifth was a tie between the Islanders and the Flyers, even though they didn't change anything. Hmm. I like the orange, and for the Islanders, I love the orange and navy. So I'm going with those two for my fifth choice.
Okay, interesting. What you got? 650-650. Text us. What are your favorites? What are your least favorites? And we're talking jerseys, not teams. I mean, we can all agree, probably in Vancouver Canucks Nation, anything Boston Bruins, anything Toronto Maple Leafs is going to be in the toilet.
And thankfully, their reverse retros are heinous.
They didn't really do anything. Bruins, you just went brighter yellow. You're still ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Lena, what are your top five?
Ooh, okay. I like that we're doing this because all of our favorites are different, apart from the Lady Liberty one that Lindsay and I have. My number one is Colorado.
Nice.
So this was paying homage to the Quebec Nordiques, mm-hmm. but they used their maroon color instead. Awesome. Mm-hmm. That's my top for sure.
Like you'd wear it on purpose.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Number two would be the Kings. I love the Kings jersey. Shocker LA team, right?
Yeah.
I was going to do number one for the Kings, and I was like, you know what? I need to just relax with LA.
No, you do not. You never have to relax. Don't let anyone dim your fire.
That's true.
It's
been a big year for LA.
Yes.
And a big year for me. So.
Yeah.
Anyway,
no, don't let anyone put out your flame there, Lena. You go, girl. That
Thank
was my
you.
Oprah moment. Okay.
You go, Glenn Coco.
So number one, Colorado. Two, LA Kings. Number three, what's
LA
your three?
Kings, which by the way, they describe their colors as forum blue and gold. I don't see any blue. If they think that purple is blue, then
oh my gosh, it's going to be like another one of those social media dress things.
Those
what color
dress,
is this?
Yeah.
Is this gold or is this pink? It's going to be that.
My third is the Carolina Hurricanes, otherwise known as the Hartford Whalers. I love that colorway. It's actually pretty similar to the Canucks colorway, so that's probably why I like it so much. And the Rangers is number four, and my fifth one is the Anaheim Ducks.
Oh, yeah. I was hoping I'd like that one so much more because my favorite sports movie is Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
But it just looks, it doesn't have enough impact for me. The font is weird.
I didn't even know what the heck it was at first.
Animated.
Like, who threw up on this jersey?
And
then I had
like
to zoom
it
in and see the little logo.
I like how cheesy it is.
Oh, okay.
See, and normally I like cheesy, but that one just kind of, it didn't, it just stopped with me.
It didn't have the gradient in it for you.
I need gradient.
You need the gradient.
Yes.
Okay, so I've got a text in from Darcy in North Van. She said Blackhawks is number one. Blackhawks jersey. I did actually like
similar.
That one. Okay. It is a classic from like their first ever released jersey. They use the logos from like the 30s.
Okay, so that's cool. That
it's pretty
actual
sweet.
Retro. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I can see that. I can see that. That's kind of a cool looking jersey. And now, Lena, my top five. What do you have? Keep texting us or testing us, either one. 650-650, and also sign your text so we can know who we're talking to, please.
Yeah,
and
shout out to Darcy in North Van for signing her text.
Darcy in North Van, props.
You the best.
You the best. Thank you for that. Now, Lena, we were just saying 34 seconds ago that you and I couldn't be more polar opposite. Guess whose top two are exactly the same?
No.
That's why I was giggling like a schoolgirl over here, because here we are. Oh my God, we're so different. Okay, yeah. I chose Colorado as number one.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, because if reverse retro really does mean a mix of the old and the new, they nailed it. Hit it out of the park. It is bang on. It's if Quebec and Colorado had a love child, that's the jersey. And I love it. I love the colors. I would wear it on purpose. I'm not an Avs fan. I don't hate them. But I would still wear the jersey on purpose. Kings. I like the Kings because I like old and ugly. That sounds funny. I like the old ugly colors. The purple. I'm sorry, it's purple, it's not blue. And the gold slash yellow, whatever they want to call it, the more obnoxious the color combo, the better. It's old school, ugly is awesome, it's Kings, nice jersey for a team like that. What?
What?
See, get it? Team like that? See?
I
brought
that.
It all around.
I
brought it around.
Wow.
I folded it up in a little bow for Canucks Nation. Number three for me. Capitals. And I'm not saying this because I married into a Capitals loving family. I love the red. I love the eagle. It's not a comedic eagle like the funny looking duck. It's a cool eagle. It's not stupid. It's cool and it's fierce. I love the angles of the stripes. I may get one. Lingerie for the husband? Nope. Caps jersey? Yes. I really hope my dad's not listening.
Actually, that eagle was the logo for when Ovi played his rookie year. For the Capitals.
Oh, how's that?
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love the Eagle jerseys, and I like this one. So props, Capitals. Number four, Hurricanes.
Of course.
Yeah.
Same, but different?
We're same, but different. And how did we just establish? Oh my gosh. It's so strange. Opposites attract, I guess. But are we really opposites? I don't know. Hurricanes, I love the homage to Hartford. Yeah, the colors do look a lot pretty Canucky.
It kind of reminds me of a pitchfork when you're in the garden. The Hartford Whalers one.
Totally.
That's the Carolina one, right?
Yeah. Okay,
it looks
now
like,
I can't see.
I mean,
yeah.
It's supposed to be a tail.
I know it's supposed to be that whale tail, but to me it looks like a pitchfork in the ground, and the line underneath the whale tail is the ground. It just, to me, it looks very strange. I know what it's supposed to be, but
yeah. Now that's all I see.
Now
thanks.
That's all you'll see.
Thank
now
you
that's
for
all
spoiling
I'll see.
That for us.
Now that's all I'll see. And I'm going way off for my fifth pick, Sabres.
Ooh,
it's a mix of the old school, new school. Love the actual Sabres. Can't argue with it. It's clean. It's nice. It goes against everything I love in retro jerseys of the uglier the better. The more gaudy the colors, the better. No, this one is just, it's just solid. It's classic. It's clean. I like it.
I like the Sabres jersey now. Can I say that?
I mean,
yeah, we're talking about reverse retro, but I do like the Sabres jerseys now. I mean, I don't care for the team.
Yeah, well.
But their jerseys are pretty sweet.
Yeah. Flames get an honorable mention.
No.
I don't know how I feel. It made me feel all kinds of weight. Lindsay, I think you and I were talking about this. We are on the same page. We don't really know how we feel about it.
It's my sixth pick, too. I love the horse head with the Flames.
Blasty the horse. His name's Blasty the horse.
Well, that's kind of mean.
Awesome.
Blasty from the pasty.
I mean, it's kind of a little animal cruelty-ish, but I mean, it's not a real animal. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's just kind of cool. It kind of looks like an old 80s metal album cover, and I'm absolutely here for it.
It was their alternate in the late 90s.
I'm not mad at it. Would I wear it?
No, not allowed.
No. Okay. Well, all right. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about that. By the way, text us 650-650. This is OT on Sportsnet 650. Got to get that in. Let's talk about that. I'm not allowed to wear a Flames jersey. So is that obviously because of the departed former Canucks? Now, what do you do with a jersey of a player that's been traded or left via free agency? And do you wear the jersey of the player that used to play for your team that now plays for another team? Jerry Seinfeld weighed in on all this many moons ago.
Loyalty to any one sports team is pretty hard to justify. Because the players are always changing, the team can move to another city. You're actually rooting for the clothes when you get right down to it. You know what I mean? You are standing and cheering and yelling for your clothes to beat the clothes from another city. Fans will be so in love with a player, but if he goes to another team, they boo him. This is the same human being in a different shirt. They hate him now. Boo! Different shirt!
Right? You're just cheering for the clothes. Now, there are so many, and that got me thinking of players that I once loved and now hate, players that I used to hate and now love. Richard Sherman. Okay, it's no secret I'm a 49ers fan, and so I don't like that team from down the road because I'm a jealous and I'm bitter. But Richard Sherman, every time he opened his mouth as a member of the Seattle Seahawks, I just was triggered. And then even now when he speaks, I'm just like, shut up. Oh, no, don't shut up. I like you now. Ugh, so conflicted. So Richard Sherman is my guy. And of course, now I'm like, you know what? He's very respectful. He's educated. He's respectful. He's good to his wife. He plays hard on the field. Now I'm finding all of his positives. But when he played for the other team just a few years ago, I mean, he was just the worst human I could ever imagine. So I'm easily flipped. Anybody, do you guys have any stories like that?
For me, I've always been a person who cheers for a player as opposed to a team.
Okay.
So I've kind of always been on that train because I've never, especially like with basketball, we had the Grizzlies here only for a short time. But when, you know, Allen Iverson was a favorite mm-hmm. for a time, and then he went from the Sixers to the Nuggets, right? Mm-hmm. So I would follow him, and Earl Boykin's one of my favorites as well, and he was at half a dozen different teams. So I, you know, kind of got jerseys wherever they went. But for me, I don't know necessarily that I've loved a player in one spot and then, or hated a player in one spot, and then they've come to another, or the team that I really like, and then I've taken them on under my wing, under my love and affection. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's ever happened.
For me, it's happened recently. I would say with LeBron James, I very much disliked LeBron James when he played for Miami and the Cavs. And then when he came to the Lakers, I was like, oh no, now I have to like this guy.
When he took his talent to SoCal, mm-hmm. you suddenly flipped. I know, it's so, how do we do this?
Yeah, another one that we mentioned earlier was Vince Carter. Mm-hmm. He got a lot of hate for leaving the Raptors, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
So much.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And now he could be named mayor of Toronto easily.
Yeah, I loved Vince Carter. I definitely didn't stop loving him after he left the Raptors.
See, I lived in Toronto then, so I had to. I had to belong.
Okay. So would you hate Kawhi Leonard then?
No, because we kind of saw it happen. I mean, I was kind of, it's like, you know, the relationship was going to end, but you didn't want it to. And you really do want them to be happy, but you still don't want them to be happier with someone hotter than you.
Yeah.
Right?
Completely.
Right. That's kind of how it felt. Did I get kind of a sick thrill when the Clippers and Raptors finished the season basically the same? A little bit. But was I cheering against Kawhi? No, because he's like Mary Poppins. He did his job. He came in, fixed everything. He did his job, and then he flies away. You know, you want him to stay, but he did his job. He made no promises, and he did nothing wrong. He went home.
Yeah. I will say, though, watching the NBA Finals, there was this commercial on American Express. I don't know if you guys saw this. And if you have an American Express card when you purchase an NBA jersey and then your favorite player, the jersey that you purchase, switches teams within a year, they will give you a free jersey.
What?
It's a very cool perk. I don't know if the NHL does that or the NFL, but it was really cool. I think that that's like a great perk for, especially in the U.S., people are constantly buying jerseys, and you're talking about buying, you know, retrofit jerseys for Christmas and stuff like that. And then it spares you having to wear a Kawhi Leonard jersey from the Raptors, and now he's in L.A., right?
But that's a cool one because he won a championship with them.
That's
but,
true.
I mean, are people rocking Kessler jersey?
I was just going to say, Kessler jerseys are the hardest ones. They're a tough look. When you go to a Canucks game and you see someone rocking a Kessler jersey, you're like, oh, wow.
I know. Well, I kind of look because there's always the one dude with the Kessler jersey.
Yeah.
And I'm looking around and you could just see everyone just kind of body language looking toward them, and I'm like, is this going to be ugly? No, it's Vancouver. We're cool fans here.
I feel like it's always the away jersey too. I don't know. Every time I've seen a Kessler jersey, it's always been the away jersey.
Huh. Interesting.
Maybe that's just a weird thing that I've come across.
Well, dude wearing a Kessler jersey wants the attention.
Yeah.
You're wearing that to get the attention.
Yeah, you know what kind of looks you're going to get.
You know you're ready for a fight or you're ready for a hug. You know that you are getting one or the other. It's not going to be an in-between.
Definitely not a hug.
Well, you never know. There are some people that
Are there Kessler supporters here?
I don't
know. Is that allowed?
There might be. There might be. Now, do you wear a jersey of a team, a jersey that you like, that is aesthetically pleasing to you, but not necessarily a team that you like?
Absolutely. That is my fashion. That's like literally my style. I have a big collection of basketball jerseys that I wear just because of how like their colorway is. Just love the colorways. Big colorway gal.
There you go, Lena. I love
it. I'm gradient your colorway.
But I always get asked, like, why that jersey? Like, oh, are you a Knicks fan? Oh, are you a, like, Lakers fan? I mean, mostly a Lakers fan, but also appreciate a lot of players on different
teams.
Don't
you have a Spree jersey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have so many, Caroline. So many.
I love it.
But I crop them, so I feel like it's a bit of a crime. What I do to them.
You take scissors to them, Lena?
I take scissors to them.
Aren't they expensive?
No, not like I thrift them and I find them.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Can you cut some for me and make me look cool? Make me look hip?
Absolutely.
Nice. Lindsay, would you wear a jersey of a team that you didn't like but you thought was pretty?
I don't know. You know, I've never, well, I can't say. I don't think that I have. I think all the jerseys I have, I feel like, you know, when you're wearing a jersey, someone will make a comment about it. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, you're wearing that Jordan jersey. Oh, you're wearing that Russell Wilson jersey. And then you kind of have to explain the story about why you are wearing it.
Yeah.
That's how I feel things are when you wear a jersey. So I feel like if I wore a LeBron James jersey, I would have to explain myself, and I don't love him enough to explain the reasons why I'm wearing this jersey. I know it sounds way too deep. I take it too seriously.
No, I take it too seriously. It really is true, though. You do have to explain, why did you get that jersey? Now, if you did get a LeBron James jersey, what team would you wear?
Come on, Lakers.
Obviously, Miami.
She's behind the glass. You don't have
Miami.
To worry. Okay.
In like the neon pink and the blue.
If I could get that, that'd be cool. Okay, what about, would you get a LeBron one or a Dwayne Wade one?
Ooh.
Oh, I'd prefer Dwayne Wade. Okay.
Or Chris Bosh.
Okay, good answer.
Ew, no, Christopher Bosh.
What?
No ways.
No.
Tough room here. Woo. I just got owned.
I hate that, though. Like, you always have to, like, I hate that second thought. And I think that, honestly, part of it has to do with the fact that, for me, as a female fan of sports, I find I have to always justify the things that I wear in the sense of like anything sports related, because I feel like someone's going to quiz me.
Is that your boyfriend's jersey or is that your husband's jersey? Did he let you wear it? Did he let you wear it?
Yeah,
I get that. I get
or
that
even
a lot.
Like, or do you even know who that is?
Yeah.
Like I've got a Michael Redd jersey, and like every time people ask me about it and they're like, do you know
sick.
Who that is? I'm like, why would I not?
Yeah. Like, do you?
Yeah.
I just toss it back with a, do you? And then I try and make them feel really small, and it's fun for me. I love my Harold Snepps jersey. That is my favorite jersey ever. It is bright yellow. It is the obnoxious bright yellow with the skate. It's Harold. And I know what I'm getting when I wear it. I know that when I walk down the concourse, I'm going to get Harold. Do I love it? Yes, because it's Harold mother effing Snepps. He is the man. I love him, and I rock his jersey, and it makes me very, very happy wearing it. I also have a Smill jersey, which is, you know, you can't argue with that. It's the man. It's the steamer. Mm-hmm. And I just have another just blue with the skate with nobody on it because I can't wear current. I don't know. My superstition, we should probably do a show on weird superstitions, but my weird superstition, I cannot wear a current player because he will either A, get injured, or B, traded. Or leave. I know. I don't know. Because it happened to me. It happened for a big straight. No, I'm not. No, everyone's like, oh, get a Patterson jersey. I'm like, no, I will never. I can't. No, I will never, ever, ever wear a jersey of a current player because I don't know. Like, I have that power. I'm so powerful. But I just feel it's my superstition. I just can't do it. So I just go old school. I can't hurt them. I can't hurt them if they're retired.
That's true.
That's fair. Yeah. But like you said with the Harold jersey, you said, you know, you feel proud when you wear it.
Yeah.
That's how I want to feel when I'm wearing a jersey. So if I wore the jersey for fashion purposes only of LeBron James because it's in vogue and cool, even though I don't like him, I wouldn't feel proud. You know, when you wear anything, you want to rock it with pride.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if I've ever worn a jersey of a player that I didn't like.
I will say there have been thrift finds of players that I didn't like and I didn't purchase. So I'm totally on board with that. I don't think I would rock a jersey of a player that I don't like. Mm. Even if it's a fire colorway. Yeah. I usually have some thought process to purchasing these jerseys, and I've been pretty lucky at finding some pretty good ones.
I want to go shopping.
At the end of the day, I think it's acceptable to wear any team jersey here in Vancouver minus the Bruins and the Leafs.
Oh, yeah, because
that's the only no-no.
Yeah.
Should be a crime.
Yeah. I mean, and I find Vancouver fans to be pretty respectful. You know, my husband wears his Caps jersey. People just go, yay, Ovi. And he's like, cool. You know, that's what they do. Just a little, sup, man. All right. Time for a break. I'm getting the break symbol from Lena. This is OT with Caroline, Lena, and Lindsay on Sportsnet 650.
Now back to OT on your home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. Here are your hosts, Caroline, Lindsay, and Lena.
I'm really glad we're not one of those radio shows that have video or a television aspect to it, because Lindsay and I dancing in our chairs is really something. Or should we? Because it's really something. I don't know. Once again, welcome back to OT on Sportsnet 650. Caroline, Lindsay, Lena here. Lena, we've got texts. You're giving me the little motion. You're giving me the sign language for we have texts.
Our reverse retro segment's really taking a hit here in the text box.
By the way, text us 650-650 and sign your texts so we can give you a shout out. Lena, so, who's saying what?
So I'm going to give a shout out to Flyers Pete here. He texted in saying he's been watching and listening to sports radio TV for 45 years. And he wanted to give us a shout out saying that he likes what we're serving up. So I replied to him and I said, Flyers Pete, are you a Flyers fan? And he said, big Flyers fan. But his retro jersey choice is the New Jersey Devils and St. Louis Blues. Okay. His worst were the Ducks. So I don't agree with that. And Minnesota Wild, which I agree, those were pretty bad. We have another one from Rosie. She said, Rangers are a no-no jersey for me. Still bitter about 94.
Oh, we were talking about that at dinner tonight.
Yeah. Yep. And then I've got another one from Madeline in North Vancouver. She's a big Habs fan. She likes the Habs retro jersey.
Okay. Yeah, that was very blue. It was a blue Red, bleu.
Blue and red.
How do you say it in French?
Bleu, rouge,
white.
In my top 10, I had that as my ninth. It's strong, though.
It's nice. It's strong.
It's
definitely
powerful.
I liked it, too.
And I mean, it's such a storied franchise. You can't really mess with it too much. That's kind of sacrilegious.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Interesting. Well, thank you for the kudos, and thanks for texting in. 650-650. Sign your texts so we can address you. Now, we're going to be introducing our next guest, Renee Hess, founder of Black Girls Hockey Club. Check her out on Twitter at Black Girls Hockey Club. Renee is an advocate for a more inclusive hockey world. Cannot wait to talk to her. Lena is on the phone right now trying to get her on.
You know, Caroline, I just have to jump in here quickly as we were talking about the Canucks and we were talking about Harold Snepps. There is a segment called Canucks with Cars.
What?
Yes. You didn't know about this?
No.
Okay, so Quinn Hughes and Harold Snepps have this episode, Canucks with Cars. You got to check it out.
Shut up.
No, I will not.
Can we get Harold on?
I will not.
Can we? I will not shut up. No, I will not. Can we get Harold Snepps on the? Can we get Harold Snepps on the show?
We definitely can, but we do have Renee.
I got to be cool.
We have Renee now.
Joining us now on OT is Renee Hess of the Black Girl Hockey Club. Renee, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
All right, I want to know what prompted you to start this nonprofit.
So the Black Girl Hockey Club really came out of a need that I had as a Black woman hockey fan to find people who I shared a cultural interest with that also were interested in hockey. And so we kind of got together on social media and we conversed that way for a few months and decided, hey, let's get together in real life and go see a game. And once we did that, all bets were off. I realized that this was a community that needed to be built, that needed to come together. And so the nonprofit was born out of that. We wanted to be able to not just be a fan club and, you know, get together as fans and go see games, but also help out other Black girl hockey fans, hockey players who are interested in the game of ice hockey, but perhaps maybe don't have a medium that they can kind of have an entry point into the sport. And that's what Black Girl Hockey Club is all about. We're an entry point. We're a place for new fans, old fans, fans that are just, you know, getting started, but also a place that is meant to help out, you know, young girl, Black girl hockey fans or hockey players who want to have access to the game, but maybe are financially unable to, or also, you know, allies of Black fans and players who want to know more about how, you know, we can be more inclusionary in hockey. So it all came out of a need of community.
Now, what was the initial response you got upon starting Black Girl Hockey Club?
You know what? The response when I started Black Girl Hockey Club back in 2018 was incredibly positive. You know, we had not only the go-ahead and the blessing of the National Hockey League, but also just hockey fandom in general. I think that, you know, the majority of hockey fans know that now is the time to start embracing, you know, various cultures, various identities, and Black Girl Hockey Club is a perfect space to do that in.
So a little, I want to know a little of the backstory that of what hockey brought into your life. For me, people had told me I had no business in being into hockey, you know, being a woman, not having played the sport and coming from immigrant parents who lived and breathed soccer. For me, my first NHL game, I remember to this day, and even still now, any NHL game I work or attend, it gives me goosebumps. And it gave me a sense of just having my own thing and branching out from the tradition in my family. And more so, I'm just wondering, is this how hockey came into your life? Because it was a little bit later in my life that I grew the passion for hockey.
Yeah, my passion for hockey developed as an adult. But again, it kind of goes to speak to this idea that women of color and the Black community don't particularly have an entry point into hockey. You know, our families aren't really, you know, practicing, playing the game or watching the game. Our friends and our social circles are not involved in the game of hockey. And so I had to go outside of my, you know, friend group and go and really develop my love of hockey on my own, which is where Black Girl Hockey Club came in, because eventually I wanted people that I shared a culture experience with to also share this love of hockey. But I did come to hockey as an adult. I am a fan of being a fan. I just love being part of an amazing fandom, and the hockey fandom is so great. It's just such a wonderful place to meet people and to learn about the sport. And so I saw what hockey was doing to my associates and my acquaintances on social media. And I reached out to a friend and I said, hey, I know you're into the sport. I don't know anything about it, but can you give me like a primer on what, you know, what I should be looking for if I want to get involved in the sport of ice hockey? And she did. And, you know, the rest is history. I started reading about the game. I started researching. I listened to games. Eventually I would watch them on television, but I would say the shifting point in my life too, just like you said, was when I went to a live game, and I was hooked after that, because, you know, a live hockey game is a whole nother experience. Mm-hmm. The sound, the smells, the feel of the chill, you know, the chill in the air and in the arena. It's just such an amazing experience. And after that, I wanted to do it again right away. And actually I did. The first time I ever saw a hockey game, I saw two in one weekend. And that was kind of how it went for, how it's been for the last few years.
The smells of hockey. Oh, we can't get enough. I know. Just kidding. We're talking with Renee Hess of Black Girl Hockey Club here on OT on Sportsnet 650.
Now, Renee, I want to ask about the Get Uncomfortable campaign. I just want to know what you do to make sure your message finds your target audience.
So the Get Uncomfortable campaign is an advocacy campaign that the Black Girl Hockey Club launched at the end of September, right when we were having our, you know, weird playoff situation that we went into. We wanted to launch a campaign that really focused on three specific tenets. The first one is to encourage, and really we want to encourage the hockey community to make a welcoming space for Black girls and all BIPOC communities as players, as fans, and executives of the sport. And our second campaign tenet is to employ, which really focuses on recruiting BIPOC applicants to begin the process of diversifying hockey at all levels. And then our third is to educate. And what we really want to do is to educate the hockey community and our allies on social justice, on allyship, with really specific guidance from BIPOC leaders, anti-racism experts, advocates, players, and fans. And so with those three pillars of our Get Uncomfortable campaign, we're really able to focus on things like scholarships for young Black girl hockey players, virtual events, since we're all kind of working from home and doing things in front of our computers. We are holding educational panels and virtual events, and we actually have one coming up on December 7th that we're hosting along with the Ontario Hockey League's Erie Otters that are down here in Pennsylvania. We're going to be having a virtual event that focuses on engagement with BIPOC youth hockey players. And so that's just one of the ways that we're engaging with our audience and holding up these tenets of the Get Uncomfortable campaign. We also are doing an Instagram Live series. We're actually having one on Wednesday, December 2nd, in the middle of the day on Instagram with Rain Carnegie. He is the grandson of Herb Carnegie, which is probably, you know, the most famous Black man to never play in the NHL. We're working on trying to get his grandfather into the Hockey Hall of Fame. So Rain's going to come on our Instagram and we're going to talk about it, because a lot of times hockey fans, just your traditional hockey fan, maybe doesn't know about the impact that Black players have had on the game. And so this is just part of what we're trying to do, have these difficult conversations, these new conversations, and let our allies and our supporters know what it means to really support anti-racism in hockey culture.
Renee Hess, a Black Girl Hockey Club on OT on Sportsnet 650 now. Renee, you talked about allies and allyship. What do you want allies to know? What can we do?
what allies can do. You know, we've heard a lot about listening is learning, and that is a wonderful starting point. We are actually, Black Girl Hockey Club is also starting a book club. So that's one thing that the allies can do, is to read and to listen and to have these conversations. We really want our allies to know that we need you to speak up and speak out and not put all the burden of anti-racism work on the shoulders of, you know, BIPOC leaders. It takes a village, right? It takes an entire community to shift this change. And it's an ongoing thing. It's not just a one-time, you know, we can check it off the checklist and say, okay, now hockey is anti-racist. But this is an ongoing battle that we're going to have to continue working at for as long as we are involved in the sport of ice hockey.
And talking about the HDA, the Hockey Diversity Alliance for the NHL, it does look like the NHL began to roll out some of those HDA asks, and they had taken initiatives towards some forms of change. However, the HDA has cut ties with the NHL. So do you think that the NHL did enough, and do you think the HDA was a bit hasty with cutting ties?
You know, I think that it's really important that an organization like the HDA exists, because just like Black Girl Hockey Club is a community space for Black women hockey players and fans and our friends and our family, so is the HDA a community space for the players of the professional players of color in the National Hockey League. And so a place like that needs to exist. Them working with the NHL is, you know, it's great if they do, but it's okay if they don't. It's all right if they don't, because they still have so much work that they can be doing. There's so much that they could accomplish within their own community. I think that they're going to do just fine on their own. And as, you know, as they develop and grow, perhaps they can come back to the NHL and figure out a better way to secure that partnership. But for now, I think they have so much going on their plate that they're going to be okay. They have a lot of work that they can do, both organizations, on their own.
Renee, it is not hockey, but Kim Ng has just been hired as the first female GM of a major sports team. Do you see the hiring of Ng as a step to opening more doors for more people who may be considered a visible minority?
Oh my goodness, yes. When Kim was hired, it was just joyful all over, you know, the BIPOC sports fan community, because representation matters. When we see someone, a woman of color, in a position like of that stature, such a powerful thing to be able to look at and say, if she can do it, maybe I can do it, or maybe my daughter can do it. And it's just so important to have those figures, just like Kim Davis in the National Hockey League, knowing that there is a Black woman in the C-suite in my favorite sport means that some other Black woman has a chance to achieve that same goal. Because representation, if we don't see it, how do we know that we can actually participate in it? How do we know that there's a space for us if there's no faces that look like ours? And so seeing what they did with Kim and her hiring and just the joyfulness around that, it's really inspiring. And I hope to see more of that in ice hockey.
Renee, did you see that picture that was going around social media of a little girl with a baseball cap watching the press conference of Kim Ng being introduced? Did you see that one?
I haven't seen that specific one, but I've seen so many pictures like that in the last couple of weeks with just these power moves that BIPOC women are making in powerful positions. And so, you know, it's just another example of why we need to employ more BIPOC women, people of color, LGBTQ in these higher positions, not just on the ice or behind the bench, but in the internship positions, in the volunteer positions, in the part-time positions, and in the C-suite. We need to see it. We need to make it happen.
We're speaking with Renee Hess of Black Girl Hockey Club here on OT on Sportsnet 650. Now, Renee, what I was asked a lot about the hiring of Ng is, what do you think took so long? Slowly but surely, hockey is hiring more diversity, but what has taken so long in your opinion?
I just think that perhaps there are a lot of people who are comfortable with the status quo. And there are a million excuses why we cannot move out of that status quo. But, you know, 2020 is all about reexamining, you know, our institutions and reexamining our values and our systems. And I think that now's the time for those systems to make a shift. If it's incremental, okay, you know, I'll deal with that when it comes, but a shift needs to be made. And I believe that clubs in the National Hockey League, like the Seattle Kraken, even though they haven't stepped foot on the ice, they don't even have a team together yet, they're making real shifts in how they participate in hiring, how they, you know, work in their community. And it's amazing to see the progress that they've come up with in such a short time. And I believe that when other clubs see what the Kraken are doing, when other clubs see what is possible with these diverse hires, I hope that they'll follow suit.
Yeah, it just takes that one club to take the chance.
Exactly.
All right, Renee, thank you so much for joining us here. That was Renee Hess, Black Girls Hockey Club, here on OT on Sportsnet 650. Thanks, Renee.
Thanks so much.
Great interview. Now, I mean, we mentioned it, we spoke about it with Renee, and we're a show hosted by three women. We cannot not talk about Kim Eng. Lindsay, where were you when you heard the news? Because this is the kind of announcement that this is, where were you when you heard the news?
I think that I was working in traffic at News 1130, but when I heard it, and I didn't know who she was, but then when I learned her story, I thought, you know, this is a long time coming, right? She's paid her dues. So happy for her, obviously, as a person who deserves this, not just a woman, but a person who deserves this. Completely happy for her. Where were you when you heard this news?
I was at the day job and my phone was blowing up. People were going, Kim. And I'm like, no, Caroline, but okay, who dis? You know, and everyone was texting me, I bet you're happy. I'm going, what are you talking about? And I was like, all right, I'll go to Twitter, the news source. And I saw it and then I started hyperventilating and then overtweeting about it. And it was just incredible news. And I'm running around and I work with all women at my day job. And I was telling them, and they're just non-sports people, not because they're women, but because they're just not into sports. Mm-hmm. And even, I mean, they were absolutely thrilled too. They were like, oh, okay, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. And I read a quote from a university professor whose name is escaping me, and, you know, this bad fact checking here. He was likening this hire to Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier. So that is how huge this is. The first Asian American to hold a position of this stature. And she's been ready for this for 30 years. She started interning 30 years ago. She was 20 years old. She was charting pitches and holding the radar gun. 6 years later, she won her first arbitration case. Just 6 years after she was interning, she beat Scott Boras. I mean, he's a shark. So she's been ready for this, and she's been passed up for this job for so many years. This is not a token girl hire, and it took Derek Jeter with the guts, I guess I should say, to hire her. The guts to hire a woman to be the first. And I got to wear a Miami Marlins jersey now. I want to get a Kim Eng jersey, even though she won't have a jersey because she's a GM. But
you can customize it.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get you a blank one and then you can customize it with her.
Oh, my gosh. And with a one on it.
I think the most impressive thing is I was looking at her journey to becoming the GM. And like you said, like she had a number of interviews for GM position.
At least eight.
Yeah, so the first, from what I can read, is the Dodgers in 2005. She worked with the organization for a number of years. And then after that, she was gunning for the Mariners position in 2008, Padres in 2009, Angels in 2011, and then the Padres again in 2014. And each time, she didn't get the job.
I know, it's long overdue, and there's no reason why she shouldn't have gotten the job. I mean, oh, she didn't play the game. Well, a lot of the people in head offices haven't played the game. They're all stats nerds now. and they're all it's Moneyball time. A lot of them have not played the game, and I don't think you have to play the game. She is an athlete. She's a softball player, but she just has not played in Major League Baseball. It's a long overdue hiring, and I mean, it's pretty sad that in 2020 that it is a big deal that a woman was hired for this. I mean, she's going to be under fire if she makes a bad trade or makes a bad move, or if the Marlins have a bad season, it's going to be her fault. But I think she's ready for it. God, she's been in baseball for 30 years.
She's been overqualified for way too long.
She's been overqualified for way too long, and she's been a woman. She is a woman, but she's been in baseball for 30 years. Bring it. There's nothing she hasn't heard. I'm sure she would just kind of go, okay, you're cute. Done. I have a job to do. And that's basically what she said. She said, okay, great. I appreciate what my hiring means, but I still have a job to do. And I mean, female, Asian, no matter what color, what gender you are, if you don't do the job, you're going to lose it. And she knows that. And I'm excited to see what she's going to do. I'm excited to see what this is going to lead for the rest of
women. Hopefully a message to other leagues and sports that she can open a pathway for strong females to be not having to say this woman was overqualified and tried for many years. Hopefully women across the leagues can have been given a fair shot at having a powerful position.
Hopefully it will open the doors to open the applicant pool for different socioeconomic backgrounds, different races, different religions, gender. Hopefully we'll just open it up, because the more diversity in any arena, I think it's going to make everything better.
Completely. Just like Renee Hess was talking about when we talked to her earlier. I think Kim Ng, like you said, Lena, she was probably ready for this job a decade ago. Yeah. And when I looked up Eric Spoelstra, because I remember him starting as coaching really young, and I know that's not the same as a GM position, mm-hmm. but it's still a very high official position, mm-hmm. right? And he started his journey interning with the Miami Heat yeah. in 93. By 2008, he was the head coach. That's 15 years. Now yeah. Kim Ng, 30 years yeah. to be the GM. She was probably qualified a decade ago, right?
Absolutely. And that was what a lot of the baseball minds in the States are saying, that she's been overqualified for 15 years. Mm-hmm. It's about time. And it also makes me think that, you know, start it from the bottom. Never be too proud to take a job that you may think is below you, because you never know where it will take you. Before we go, happy belated birthday, Lindsay.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. We just discovered it was her birthday.
Yeah, she keeps all sorts of secrets from us.
She keeps all kinds of secrets. We're just going to out you on all of it, Lindsay. So careful what you say.
I know.
Lindsay's birthday was Sunday.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm not gonna scare you or anybody with the singing, but have to wish you a very happy birthday.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
And I hope this next year comes better times for all of us.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Especially you, Lindsay.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. You deserve all of the good things.
Mm.
And on that note, it's time to go. Another episode of OT on Sportsnet 650 with Caroline, Lindsay, and Lena in the books. See you next week.